This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360biz.com. My name is Debo Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. It is a beautiful Wednesday evening. You know, this is a show that brings you all things business. You know what? I'm very excited about today's show specifically and many other shows that we host. Because, you know, with this show, every week, without fail, we're bringing you subject matter expert, we're bringing you industry champions. And most importantly, I think what I love about this show is that we hold people accountable for what they claim to be doing for SMEs and, you know, business community as a whole. But today I'm sure we're not fighting with my guests. We're actually talking. I'm sure more than anything we're actually celebrating, because I can see them already popping eyes to say, okay, are we fighting? Who are we fighting with? But I'm not alone in studio. I'm with my boy Bulelani. But how are you,
man? No, man, I'm having an interestingly great day. I was attending a launch, some product launch. It's a betting. It's crazy. I mean, the amount of money that is spent yearly on betting, Joe.
Dude,
sports.
I think we must do a show around betting, because it's this betting that makes players sell games, eh?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think when you go into details, you look at the to one of the recent big fights between McGregor and Mayweather. I mean, the paychecks were so ridiculous, and it's all part and parcel of this betting ring. And it's crazy that one of the biggest betting companies in the country is owned, or rather created, by the Ruperts and the... I'm not sure who the others, but it's the Ruperts and it's another white family that has made so much money, and it's worth billions.
Sure, dude.
And it's
business, my brother. What can we say? But I think for real, we must really do a show and really obviously cover and talk about these things. Let's invite them in studio if we need to.
No, definitely, definitely.
To actually talk about that. And I must say, dude, I mean, I was sad seeing the, you know, what do you call it, the floods that took cars and everything in KZN. And sure, dude. But anyway, we don't want to talk about sad stuff, man. It's good. I mean, you hold it down a couple of 2 weeks.
No, man, it was amazing last week in studio. It was actually electric with KK in studio, you know, unpacking the sales. Then, you know, the idea around sales for entrepreneurs how to sell. You know, I think that of the many material, or rather of the amount of different material that is out there, I personally, as an entrepreneur, have always experienced that material around how to sell and how to build a sales force. There's not a lot of material around that in the market. So I think it's beautiful what he's done through the book, and I'm really looking forward to today's show. I mean, Transportation Month, man.
No, definitely. I mean, if ever you're listening and you're like me, you were not in studio or didn't listen to it, you can always go to www.cliffcentral.com and go to podcast to actually get some of the exciting shows that we have. Or you can definitely download the Cliff Central app to actually listen to the podcast that we have. Like Bulelani has said, today we're talking the business of tourism and transport in honor of the Transport Month. It is the Transport Month. South Africa, I mean, has a modern and well-developed transport infrastructure. I mean, Bulelani, I saw that last week as I was going to training. The entire week I was using Gautrain, dude. You know, I was proud of myself the entire week using a train. Like, I mean, the air and rail networks, I mean, are one of the largest in the continent that we have, and the roads are in good condition. I mean, the country ports provide a natural stop over for shipping to Europe, America, and Asia, Australia, and both coasts of Africa. I mean, they say, Bulelani, we are the gateway to Africa. So the transport sector, I mean, has been highlighted by the government as a key contributor to South Africa's competitive in global markets. That's why, obviously, Bulelani, you know, there's the likes of Rea Vaya Bus, Egurulin, I know they launched their own, and Tshwane, they've got their own as well. So, I mean, everything that is definitely is growing. I mean, according to an article published in June 2017 by Brand South Africa, it says South Africa's total road network is about 747,000 kilometers, being the longest network of roads of any African country. The drive from Musina to the northern border to Cape Town in the south is about 2,000 kilometer a journey on a well-maintained road. But it's quite long. I remember I drove from here to Cape Town. It was about 14 hours. You know, it's very, very, I think, crazy, I must say. But October is, like I've said, declared the transport month in South Africa. It is used to raise awareness on the importance role of transport in the economy. South African government is running a transport month under this year's theme, Together We Move South Africa Forward. To talk about the business of transport and tourism in honor of transport month, we have our incredible guest working in the transport and tourism sectors. It's Miss Neo Mangope. I don't know whether she's related to the Mangope family. The former Mungena Mangope of Botswana.
Well, she's wearing diamond-studded, brooches diamond-studded. She's dripping. I mean, the security personnel outside. So ask the question again.
Yeah. Anyway, Miss Mangope is the founder of Right Brain Factory. I asked her when she walked in whether do they manufacture bright brains, but I know she is a logistics trade specialist by profession that provides sales and strategic marketing for logistics industry and participants. I mean, her focus is to market very traditional freight and logistic operators in SADC and the globe. I mean, in her business, they also have structured trucking companies as well as engineering fabricating companies. Maybe it's part of the inheritance of China. We've got as well Mr. Mpo Mate, who's the director of Chuku Transport Services. Mpo is a keen traveler and a vivid entrepreneur. Chuku Tours is a registered tour operator in Johannesburg. For Cradle of Humankind, Chuku's transport services offer end-to-end solution for transport, tours, accommodation, car hire, events and conference. I mean, the company has won several awards, including overall winner for service excellence and best tour operator at the Western Tourism Award. Chuku is also the member of the South African Tourism Association. So, Buleran, who knows, maybe we might just get a holiday, don't you think?
Yeah. You never know, hey?
Yeah, we may never know indeed. But let me take this opportunity to welcome our guest. Let me give them this opportunity to say hi to our listeners, tell us who they are and what is it that they do. You know, they always say ladies first. So we'll start with royalty in the house. Asnewa, how are you, ma'am?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for having me. He is actually my grandmother's cousin.
You see, I did say.
A princess, far fetched though, a pure Joburger.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you want to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
Yeah, so as you already introduced me, mm-hmm. I am a trade specialist. I work with a great team and network of marketers mm-hmm. That predominantly specialize in the logistics field and operators within that industry. Mm-hmm. And basically what we do is that we advise them on how to package themselves and market them suitably to manufacturers, importers, and anyone that really that they want to trade with, mm-hmm. And make them suitable to engage in business. So that's what we do.
I mean, let's fix this. Trade specialist. You know, there's a lot of trading these days. Everyone else is trading. There's
betting.
There's all these fraudulent activities. Which trading are you talking about?
Well, we trade everything across all industries. Some of our clients move general cargo, some move fruits and vegetables, some move manufacturing goods, and they're part of being the industrialist programs. Mm-hmm. So we move all sorts of things. Mm. You know,
you're
so
just moving. As long as it's moving,
yeah, one nothing stationary.
No, definitely. Mpo, do you want to say hi to our listeners? That's who you are and what you do?
Hi to the listeners. Hi to everyone else.
Okay, let's try that again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can hear myself.
Yeah.
Hi to everyone else. To the listeners, and I've got no royalty, so there's no royalty.
Hey, dude.
It'll rubble. any
bit that I can get, yeah. Please
Me and you are on the same page, ne? We don't have royalty. Definitely. So Chuku Tours.
Yeah.
Tell us quickly about that.
Basically we are a tour operator. So we package for people and clients and corporate that mm-hmm. want to go, whether if it's corporate and they want to do team building, if it's individuals wanting to go to mm-hmm. Durban, to Cape Town, we package all of that. We're based In Joburg. So we're a registered trade tour operator. So you need to be able to be accredited. You need to be, this morning I was actually at the transport department. For the logistics, basically for because your vehicles need to be licensed and they need to be accredited and all of that, insurances in place, so everything, it's very, in case something does happen, and you need to claim through your insurance because you're dealing with local and international visitors. So basically we run, if someone wants to go on holiday, someone wants to go, whether it's the Cape Town, you know, for a jazz festival, or you're going to Durban with your family. So we package all of that. But we're primarily based in the cradle of humankind, which it's just about 30 to 40 minutes from Joburg.
Okay.
And it's a gem, basically, out there. It's you don't need to go to the Drakensberg, basically.
But Lennon, you don't want to go to the cradle of humankind. I don't want to go.
I've never been, actually. And I think that one of the things that I've taken upon myself is, you know, to travel my own country. And I've always made the excuse to then say, as an entrepreneur, you know, you're always going to wherever the opportunities are. You get the money, go back to the office, open up your laptop. And, well, personally for me, because I'm not in the traveling space, I hardly go.
Just open his laptop as well.
I hardly move around. So I think such opportunities are opportunities that need to be seized.
Yeah.
And I think as well, you know, getting in touch, or rather knowing proudly black tour companies that are doing this, makes it even better than the money also then stay gets to circulate amongst us.
Yeah. You know? But you know, I mean, speaking about tour operators, Bulelani, I remember the talk I was saying the other day, I was doing the other day, and I was talking about being a traveler. And I was saying, being a traveler, you know, you'd travel. My travel agent would book in, you know, my tourism, whatever, and comes after that. They would speak as if they know where JF Kennedy Airport is at. You know, they'd speak as if they know where whatever airport is at, or Lance Airport, or everything else. The next thing, when you now starting to get into specifics, you realize they don't know that and they've never been there. And I've always said the tour operators, on the other hand, you know, they're the people on the ground that know the whereabouts, that know where this and that. So you must decide whether you want to be a travel agent or a tour operator in regards to the industry that you're getting into. But anyway, Neo, let me come back to you. What is your opinion on the current state of transport system in South Africa?
The state of our transport system really could be better. I think communication between operators and the stakeholders still needs to be matched quite prominently. You know, when you look at our trains that get burnt down, commuters always being stuck getting to work, to and fro from work, our borders, trucks waiting for days, you know, like now with the weather in KZN, the ports have been shut down. You know, such operational issues still need to be fixed. But overall, I think South Africa and Durban still operates as one of our biggest ports.
Yeah.
And our road networks have been looked into. I mean, our minister as well, just this week has he's fixing up the road, Mpumalanga.
Yeah.
You know, that the trade network as well just runs smoothly. You know, so people that own trucks as well are able to run smoothly without, you know, damaging their trucks, you know, potholes and so on. So the relationship should really be bridged a lot better. And I suppose that communication there's different agencies, and there's a lot of hands in the pie between operators and the stakeholders, and it's about communication, and really that's what I do. I spend a lot of time doing in terms of giving information, compliance issues, new insight in terms of how to operate efficiently, you know. In terms of route planning, you know, and I mean logistics in itself, it's changing. There's e-commerce. Amazon's are bringing in drones, you know.
Yes.
You know, so like, do we need trucks? You know, the movement from road to rail. You know, so there's a whole lot of different things that are happening within the industry that is changing. So it really depends on what the client needs and how quickly you want your things to be delivered on the emergency. On the urgency, really.
I mean, speaking about how quickly do you want your things to be delivered, how important is to have a proper transportation infrastructure there to ensure business runs effectively?
Well, that is a no-brainer. That needs to be solid. I mean, in terms of your planning, it would cut down your costs, which ultimately infiltrates onto your end user. So if the infrastructure is good, it will run smoothly. I mean, if a truck is sitting between South Africa and Mozambique for 3 days, I mean, obviously your goods are going to be sitting in the queue at the border for a while, you know. But I mean, if there's smooth transition, if there's pre-clearance way before then, if there's smooth running agents and there's communication again between the two countries, between the different provinces, and the infrastructure is proper, then goods will be delivered timelessly.
I mean, Mpo, Twining, now you're speaking about being stuck on the borders. So, and right now, I know the minute we start speaking borders and on the ground, you play there as well, in that space as far as tourism is concerned. What is your opinion on the current state of South African transport system, especially in relation to the tourism sector?
Speaking of borders, you do get, say you're traveling out of the country. Mm-hmm. Some borders are quicker than others. Mm-hmm. Others you will stay, you stand there. And whether to get in out of our country and into another country can become a bit cumbersome. And, you are with tourists and you just need to make everyone aware that, look, there's certain regulations that must be dealt with, and be as patient as possible. But yeah, I've heard where we stood for about 2 hours.
Is it? And for me, I can imagine, Pela, Vulelani, they date your snobs, you see. So, so I can imagine. So have you dealt with a difficult client? Oh my God, I can't believe I've been staying here for 2 hours or whatever.
No, you do. You do.
And how do you respond to that?
I think with any business, you could, speaking of the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
One of the busiest roads that we use, because we also run shuttles and transfers,
okay,
it would be maybe Pretoria to OR Tambo, and that's the R21, and it's got 5 lanes. But at times, there's an accident or something, and so you always need to be thinking out of the box.
Mm.
But the most important one is to always communicate with the client.
Okay.
Ahead of time. So even if you have to say to them, look, can we fetch you a bit earlier because we don't want you to miss your flight.
Mm.
And if there is a problem along the road, communicating with other peers in the same industry to say, guys, avoid this kind of setup, avoid this road or whatever, use an alternative road. So it's always that, but the communication one is always key. I've learned that even the minute you communicate early in advance and continuously give feedback on what is happening, the client will never, they can't complain.
I mean, speaking about that though, we've been having big issues of tourists being affected by crime.
Yeah.
From the airport, to be precise.
Yeah.
Last time it was a bus of about 30 something tourists.
Yeah.
Last time it was a family, it has always been happening.
Yeah.
How is that affecting you guys as the industry?
It is. It's affecting quite hectically.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's people pretending to be police. So it becomes a bit difficult. I mean, we've lost a car because it was hijacked, our driver was stopped as if it was the police.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you think also how, because your clients are your first priority.
Yeah.
And I mean, their flight's landing at 2 a.m. So you then, even through our association, there has been, in terms of communication of when traveling from the airport, what do you do? So, for instance, with our clients, especially internationals, we tell them, please do not exchange money in advance. We let them know that we will take you to where you can exchange your foreign currency, but let's not change it at the airport because that's where the spotting and everything happens and you can get followed. So And I think if you do get stopped, the safest one is either go to your nearest police station. That's what we inform all our drivers and everyone, or where it's a public place. Because now a blue light is flashing you down. Your first instinct is, let me stop. Maybe I did something. But now it's no longer as safe as it used to be.
And then it's crazy, man, because, I mean, according to you and your feel around the tourists that have come into the country, I mean, as they exit, I mean, what are some of the things that they share? Will they come back again?
Yeah, with most tourists, it's South Africa is an amazing place. It's very, very amazing because you've got, I mean, within the provinces, you get to experience so many different level of whether it's culture, whether it's tradition, whether it's food. So everyone always says your hospitality as South Africans is the one that, you know, it always stands out and we will always come back. So most of, I mean, our business to get where it is, it was purely by word of mouth. The campaigns and the marketing, it's all good, but we got to where we are because of the word of mouth. Because I can give you a quick example. Our first tour. One of our first tours, we took guys out to the rugby. It was happening at FNB.
Mm-hmm.
It was a group of friends from Sandton. So they were dressed and they were, you know, they were like, no, we don't want to go to Vilakazi. We want to go to where, you know, locals, South Africans go and whatnot. And we end up going to a Chisanyama called Panyaza. And they had fun. You know, at some point, they didn't want to go to the game. We said, guys, but we are here for the game. We're not here for the, you know, that's nice, but we need to go. So ever since then, we still have those clients as our clients, even now. And I'm talking a good 6-7 years. And they become now family. So, you know, they recommended us to some of their friends. At some point, going to a U2 concert, we had about 25 buses. Where we took parents, I'm the child. Me and my friends, we go in one bus. Our parents go in another bus. Our siblings go in another bus. So we ended up taking about 30, you know, buses that we're running to the different concerts. And through that word of mouth, that's how it's always gotten about. And from there, you find someone says, so would you be able to do something for maybe our company? Because we traffic. And now you've got a foot in the door. Instead of you just coming and saying, this is Tuku, this is what we can do. But someone is speaking on your behalf, so they're your ambassador. And others, when people are coming over from overseas and whatnot, that's how they recommend you. So even when, like your question, when people leave the country, most definitely they do come back and they recommend, you know, the country to others that haven't been here. And
I mean, what Mpo is saying is now speaking to marketing, and that's your space. I mean, how do you help businesses?
So basically, our process is really just to revisit the core vision, and we mostly like to deal with companies and logistics participants that have at least been running for longer than a year. You know,
logistics participant.
Yeah, participants and transport companies.
Oh, okay.
You know, freight as well. And they should be at least be running for a year. And in that way, they have an understanding from their vision how to actually operate. And then we walk them through the process mapping on how they would like to change their structure, how could they effectively market themselves, and how to take them to the next level of their business. You know, like before our conversation here, we spoke briefly about how do you reach individuals and how do you market yourself for a focused audience, you know. So we give more consultative focus on our approach.
And then, I mean, what has been the response rather from the entrepreneurs? Because I think one of the things that I picked up from the gentleman was that I think whatever mishaps that would have happened maybe to a tourist in the country is actually salvaged by the experience that is given, not necessarily by the country, but the actual operator. Because I think at that point, it's totally up to the operator or whoever's moving them around to then say, no, actually, there is a much better side to it, you know?
Sure. Well, from our side, really, the people that need our service know that they're coming to a team of one expertise, you know, in what we do. And we really dive into understanding your business thoroughly before we give any recommendations. You know, we're not quick to be like, oh, let's plug you into some social network and color your business into whatever, you know, and put you onto any billboard. You know, we really focus and try and get you, and we want quantitative results, you know. That's what makes us happy. It's not about just splashing your name and putting you in a box and shelving you at the end of the day, you know. So in that regard, we get good responses. And again, with the word of mouth from that they got their good response, again, that also filters through to getting new clients.
Yeah. I mean, now part of the show is to educate. So sure. Somebody might be hearing you saying you're saying quantitative response. And they might be lost in that. What is quantitative response and how do you measure it?
Nice.
Is it a big word? Okay. Well, it's English and it never loved us, huh? Well, from our perspective, anything that you can quantify would be something that you can measure. Where we both agree from a client's perspective, to what our abilities are and our capabilities, and that we're able to give measurable results. You know, that is something that you can quantify. So, yeah.
I think, you know, I mean, obviously, like Debucho mentioned a bit earlier on, it is an entrepreneurial show. So I think I'd like to ask this question to the entrepreneurs that are listening to the show right now. I think one of the things that you mentioned a bit earlier on, I'm still stuck on that because it speaks to retention, and which is what we struggle with, a lot of us small businesses, you know. And what would you then say is fundamental in terms of retaining clients?
I think the most important one is be honest with the client. I think a lot of us want, you know, we have that open blanket thing where we say we can provide everything, whatever you need. Yeah, don't worry, we'll sort it out. Don't worry. Whatever you want, you understand. And even your shortcomings or where you are not very strong, you are not able to say, you know what, let me move you to someone else. So let me give an example. We don't like to share generally. I'm not sure why, but people don't like to share. But if, let's say, for instance, I've got my seating capacity on a vehicle is, let's say, 50, and I've got 40 clients, and I don't want to go and speak to another person who has similar business, who has, you know, because we do, like, for instance, we operate nationwide. Our footprint is nationwide, but everyone that we work with, we vetted them and we've got service level agreements with them. So the service is par. Whether the service is done by me or by someone else, it's exactly the same. But with being able to share, then it gives you that bigger mindset because you actually now don't think, you know, in terms of where your geographical space is, but you are able to think across the board to say, I am able to operate anywhere in the world, basically, because my footprint is there and I've done the research, I've done everything of mine is on par. If you've got a company, I'm saying, let me see your insurances, which vehicles are you using, are they serviced, and all of that all of those things. So basically it's that being able to share and also not wanting to be everything to everyone. That becomes quite important in terms of the space that, and I mean the tourism space. It, you know, you might be driving down the highway and you're seeing all these different cars and safaris and whatnot. It's very small. So everyone knows everyone. If I go and I have a bad experience with, you know, another service provider, and I'm speaking to maybe someone in the association, hey man, I had a bad experience with this person and whatnot. If they've also done something bad to someone else, it'll quickly get out and your business will never grow. So you have to be bigger than that, you know. Sometimes there are work where you literally don't make any money, but it's okay because depending what are you doing? Are you building a brand, or are you, you know, it can't be a 12-month thing whereby you're saying in 12 months I'll have so much. and I would have made it. That's not how the business works. It doesn't matter whether it's a small business or it's a big business. The fundamental principles are the same.
And I mean, do you experience that a lot of the entrepreneurs that you work with have this perception when they come to you, small business, thinking big business, and I mean, thinking long term in terms of building a brand?
Absolutely. I mean, they vary. I mean, there's again, we will, by definition, would like to deal with people that are not necessarily at the visionary point of their business, because we would like to operate with people that have already, that understand already and put their own money, for one. And when you put your own money into something, you are going to pay attention. You know what I mean? So in that regard, you know, people that have at least put in, they have different segments and visions of and scales of their businesses. So we work with a whole range of clients. But I like what Dawood just said now in regards to creating a solid supply chain and not making yourself an all saver, you know, and wanting to do everything and hug the whole pie, because you are going to drop the ball at some point, you know. Rather create a good supply chain that you're able to globalize, because that's the big word that we all trying to, you know, the space that we all trying to play in, you know. So I mean, for ourselves as well, we don't do everything, you know. So we would outsource other service providers that would cater for our clients' needs, you know. But we would ensure that we are frontline, making sure that we are taking care of our clients' interests, you know, to make sure that the standard and the level of service is still the same.
And I think a question I'd like to throw out there, you know, from a background perspective, of all the things, and I'd like to throw this to both our interviewees, for all the things you could have done, why entrepreneurship?
Hush, when you don't sleep at night, eh?
Don't stop. No eh? Weekends, no holidays.
No, bona, it doesn't 24 stop.
24 hours. Literally. Sure. My phone does not switch off. At any hour, I can get someone. I think it was the day we were voting last year or something, and we had a bribe with some friends. Around 9, almost 10, a client phones. Mpo, hey, the airport is closed. We can't get a... we were supposed to hire a car, but we can't get. Technically, I don't have to do anything, because at the time, they were not using our services. But it's 10, and they don't know how to move around East London. What do you do? You know? But within 5 minutes, we had a car there to pick them up. And I'll give you an example. Not even an example. I used to be an auditor in my previous life. And yeah, man, auditing was nice. Used to audit a bit of government as well. A lot of government, actually. So it was really nice. I mean, I studied to be a chartered accountant, and it didn't really... I didn't get all the way. And along the way, I remember a friend of mine once said, "But why are you studying this?" And I said, "No, man, I want to study. I want to be a chartered accountant so I can go to the bank and I can be credible and they can give me a loan to start a business." And he said, "But you're wasting time, man. You shouldn't be staying here and looking at all of these things that you are saying. You're actually wasting your time." And then I just decided, you know what? Let me get a combi and let the business start. So that's how, for me, that's how. But it's always been there, that entrepreneurial bug.
Well, on my side, it's really, for one, I don't even need coffee to buzz. I'm just like on a natural high. So I'm excited by different projects and different challenges, you know. So sitting in an office space and kind of waiting for boss man or boss lady to give me a project to do, I'll get so bored, you know. So and I want to meet people, and I want to expand my mind. And I mean, gone are the days as well that we work full time and wait for our pension and provident funds to extend our walls. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's why I've gone into entrepreneurial into that space. To challenge myself, and every day is a challenge, and I learn something new every day, you know. That's literally true.
Is the transportation space open for business?
Yeah, definitely. the pie is big enough.
And what are some of the barriers to entry, I think, as you mentioned the
pie? So it's like I'm saying, the pie is big enough for everyone. There's always a demand for transport, whether it's people, whether it's rail, whether it's trucks, there's always a demand. And my barrier to entry was, I remember the first, because you need to have permits to operate. The first permit we had, it took me 9 months to get, and the vehicle was just standing there, because people were not sharing basically the information. Even when you went to the transport department back then, you would go there and they would tell you this. When you come back, no, you missed this. You're supposed to have three letters. You only have one of someone saying, yes, they will support you. And look, now it's different. Like I said, I was from there this morning. The process is less cringing, and you know, cause you always knew when you were going and getting, you know, cause you can't operate without being properly accredited and permitted. And, now it's better. And I'll go back to it, the sharing. Half of the people, we always somehow seem to be in competition. There's no way that I can be. You can come and open the same business in the same street,
and you'll get something, yeah?
But we can't be the same. We are not the same. You understand? Our base of clients where we are going to operating is totally different. So there's no way that you can come and say, no, but you're going to take my clients. How? When you've got your own network, I've got my own network. Mm. You understand? Mm. So those are the things of barrier to entry. Of you need to think bigger. Yeah.
And then, with this industry being as big as it is, you've had guys who've been in the industry for years and years who've been milking industries, yeah. with this particular industry, yeah. sorry. Yeah. And do you feel like they are open to new entrants? And, obviously at the moment, in terms of the entrepreneurial landscape with regards to government policies, you've got things like your enterprise development and your supply development. Do you see them playing a role, a key role, in terms of uplifting upcoming black industries, or rather black entrepreneurs who are in the same space?
Yeah. Look, there is. The agencies are there, but also, and with tourism is a different animal altogether, because it's actually about, you have to pay your dues. So we have trade shows where we go and exhibit. You can exhibit at a trade show for 5 years, giving out a business card to the same person saying, hey man, let's do business. You know, this is what I do, and I know you are in that space and whatnot. And only after 5 years, the person comes to you and says, by the way, what do you do? And some take it personal and whatnot. But I remember speaking to a gentleman in the cradle, and they were saying, and I said, but how is it, man? Like, you know, it's a very small sector where everyone sort of knows everyone. But some, you know, the next person wants to know, will you be there next year? Are you a fly by night or what? So even the agencies that are there, they are there to help us out, you know. Our business is based in Bekkersdal. I'm from Bekkersdal. Hmm. Bekkersdal is 45 minutes from Joburg.
Okay.
On the west end, far
yes,
west.
Yes.
My office is there. Our operations are in Pretoria. So, for me, everyone says, but why do you have offices in Bekkersdal? It should be like in Joburg, Sandton, and something. And I said, no, my business doesn't. It allows me to operate from anywhere. Mm. Because we are, you know, wheels based and you know, people based. Hardly anyone comes to our office to say, hey, I'm here for a meeting and what, you understand? You come to them, and a lot of people will say, want to come to your office? I said, yeah, no, come through. Have you seen, plus you get to see the countryside when you come into us. here's the brain. Yeah. You know? So, yeah, so it is that. And for us, it's, you know, you have to play in the space. Make sure that you are there. You are also honest. You are not a fly by night. Avoid all of those things. Because that's what kills you. So as much as there is agencies that can support you in terms of marketing collateral and all of that, ultimately you need to prove yourself that you can do the work. Because your word, you know, the work that you do, it tells you. I take people out on a tour of the cradle and they don't come back satisfied. Yes, I might have robbed the one and they can come back, dissatisfied. But the more it happens, the more the word gets out.
That's true. And I mean, you know, there's something you touched on actually that rang a huge indicator in me a little bit earlier on. I mean, the advancement in terms of the logistics and the transportation space. I mean, when you look at your, I think you touched on drone technology, you know, and you've touched on, and I think, you know, just when you mentioned that, I started to think about, I mean, things like what Alibaba is doing now, things like, you know, moving parcels from one place to another, utilizing drones. I mean, what is your feel in terms of entrepreneurs in the industry with regards to the evolution of technology?
Well, to be honest, the key players are still IR Afrikaners. You know, and going back to again the conversation of entry barriers.
Yes,
to entry,
actually, yes.
I want to answer that because that is a challenge of a lot of our clients. I mean, especially if they are black operators that are wanting to get into the industry, or even young participants. You know, the industry in itself is capital intensive. I mean, just to buy a truck and its horse and its trailers and its wheels and its tires and its labor, it's a lot of money. As a 22-year-old, you have to have a really good inheritance or have diamantes like mine. to have the money. But I mean, generally, you know, and even for the bank to even give you money to even get into that sector is really hard. So there's a whole lot from your finance to your capital operational issues, you know. But again, you know, the government is actually doing some effort. And there's agencies again that are doing some effort to assist players, new entrants into the market. Because I mean, again, people with the knowledge and the know-how are still white, and they again retiring or passing it on to you know, Ditlak Junior to handle the business, and it still kind of hangs within, you know, their inheritance. And then Rona Bositole, you know, Arakhono Kena, you know, but we can only subcontract. And we, again, even getting those deals to even service such clients and the experience is also a challenge, you know. So the conversation of that government and these agencies are having, and how we assist our clients to get in, is having the conversation of being a preferred supplier, you know. I mean, looking into the agriculture sector as well, the government is also starting to get a little tighter and tighter in terms of exporting and importing, that, you know, they will not issue people permits if their supplier development is not transformed. You know what I mean? So it has to be women owned companies or young entrepreneurs, you know, so at least that kind of assists, you know, new entrants. But in terms of experience, they're still wet behind their ears. So for them to capture new clients is a bit wobbly. So it needs to be quite strategic. And that's where we come into play in terms of how we dance together and to getting them to play within that industry.
And I mean, you know, I think just floating around the barriers to entry question. I mean, what do you think the corporates themselves and government could be doing better to allow easy entry? I don't know, easy entry or ease of access.
Well, we want their money. But I mean, there's a whole lot to look into. Again, at the end of the day, businesses are in business to make money. People that give money are in to make more money. So you need to be quite smart. You need to be able to trade and barter and sing a tune to the person that you're going to lay in bed with, that you actually are going to add value. You know, I see your eyes rolling there. I'm sorry.
Bed.
Flat
bed. Another big word.
Flat bed. These are trucks. Flat bed. Okay. Yeah.
I think the important one is also make sure that your product, the product that you have is good.
Yeah.
You understand? Nice. 'Cause it speaks for you. Even when you're not there or you know. I'll give you an example. There's a because we're trying to get as many people to travel the country, especially locals. So in the Cradle of Humankind, one of the biggest attractions is the Sterkfontein Caves and the Maropeng Visitor Center. Basically, those are that's what makes the Cradle of Humankind, because that's where basically we are saying come home and see where humanity actually, in terms of the evolving, you know, the evolution of humanity actually, basically. So what we've then said, and we spoke to a few partners around the area, and we said, but we want to showcase this amazing area. Because you can bungee jump, you can, you can go into the caves and learn a bit about that. There's a lot of food, there's a lot of establishments from 3-star to 5-stars, and all of these things, all in the area of the Cradle of Humankind, which we feel people don't know about. So then we went and we took a few of the items and experiences that one can have, and we've packaged it into a tour where we said, because we want locals to travel more, there'll be a local price and there'll be a price for internationals.
Oh, wow.
Different one. Because internationals, they can afford.
Mm.
Mm.
So, locals don't really have that buying power. But we're saying, come out into the Cradle, for instance, and we'll keep you busy for 8 hours. If you want to sleep over, there's more than enough places to sleep over. But we'll keep you busy for about 8 hours, and we'll include lunch. And we said, you know what, for all of that will run for 600 rand.
What?
People are saying...
There's no way.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Exactly. Yes. And that's what we said. We said, because the caves are there. They're not going anywhere.
Mm.
You understand? The caves are there. We take people out to Mansfield. It's a township on the far west.
Mm.
Basically, when people are going into exile, there's a house there. It's called an exit house, where people would go and hide, and the dead of the night, they'd be taken out to Botswana, and the people that used to take the people out, they're still there, so they share their stories. In the same township, there's a white informal settlement where blacks and whites live. So when people go on this tour, they're like, but you can't charge this little, and we say, then it means we've got it right, because now we can get as many people as possible to come out.
I'm going on this tour, actually. Sign me up. No, count me in. Now I'm 100% in. I think, Tseho, what you got going on this weekend? We have to. Like, it's amazing.
Yes.
Sure. 600. Nah, I think, aren't you underpricing, Mar?
That's the point. That's what we want.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have the Lioness coming up this weekend.
What's the Lioness?
It's a woman empowerment event. Miss Nell?
Yes.
If you can join us.
I would love to.
Yeah. I'm actually forcing you to come.
Ish, we are out. Ish.
You're not a
There's no Lioness. Ish.
Girlfriends to come through. It's a woman empowerment event that they don't hear me.
Oh, yes.
It's a woman empowerment event.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
So we have the Lioness coming up this weekend. It's a woman empowerment event. Basically, it's not the type of event where you sit and listen and you go home. No, it's the type of event where women are coming to come and learn how to unleash the strength that lies within you in order to break barriers, in order to, you know, achieve what you need to achieve in your life. So it's happening this Saturday in Pretoria. So for those that are based in Pretoria, or those that don't mind driving to Pretoria, it's in Pretoria East on the 14th of October. It starts from 10 to 1 o'clock. We have our speakers, Kethi Mutlatlana from ENCA, Innocent Sadiki from Skim Sam and One Gospel, Lesogo Matlala, who's a businesswoman, and Musima Tamani, who's a legal analyst. So it's going to be a powerful event. Tickets are 200 rands per person. They can pay on the day as well. And it's on the 14th of October.
Amazing, amazing. And then, how do people get in touch?
So people can contact me on 071-492-3119. We also have a Facebook page. It's called Alpha Destiny Communications. Alpha, the Afrikaans version. ALFA, Destiny Communications. Why are you laughing?
You have been captured.
And we have an Instagram page as well, Alpha Destiny Communications, as one word. And people can just follow me.
At?
I'm Googleable.
Google. We normally close the show in style, so 30 seconds of inspiration.
Wow. Well, Right Brain Factory is open for business, and we're looking for all kinds of projects, industrialists, transporters. We want to change Africa. I mean, it's our home. We want to make it competitive. We want to grow business, and we are good to go, and we've got great experts within the field of logistics and a whole bouquet of services that we can assist you with, and that whole network to make us competitive within the globe.
How do we get in touch?
Well, you can contact me on neo.maope01@gmail.com, or our website's actually up in under construction. It's on it's going to be www.rightbrainfactory.com. In terms of the whole wild web.
Nice.
And yeah, and you can catch me there, and obviously the social media, and we are available and we're good for business.
Thank you, sir.
With us, basically, South Africans should travel. That's our basically what we're saying. You know, doesn't have to be with us, but please do get out there and see how amazing this land is. Tsuku, we mostly in the cradle of humankind. So come out for breakfast or lunch for 3-star restaurants, the carnivore, where you eat as much meat as you can, and then you when you surrender, you put up your white flag. It's all in the cradle. You know, there's a lot to do. So on your weekend, you know, come out. We've got our Facebook page, which is Tsuku Transport and Tours. Mine on Facebook, it's Mpo Mache, and Instagram, it's Mpoza8. At Mpoza8. But yeah, and our email is info@tsuku.co.za. Our website, www.tsuku.co.za. But yeah, come on to our website, go onto our page, see what we've got in terms of specials and what we're running, but we always make sure that we give you the best of what you can. And yeah, Tsuku will take you there.
Amazing. So we're going on this tour, right?
Definitely.
Thank you. Your words, 2 seconds.
Get things done.
Join us again next week, Wednesday, 1 o'clock to 2 p.m., 360biz.com.
360biz on cliffcentral.com. This is cliffcentral.com.